This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
When it comes to playoff list, where them boys at? Where them boys at? Where them boys at? When it comes to playoff list, where them boys at? What are you talking about? The Eagles have 6 playoff wins in the last, what, since 2000, right? The Cowboys, or the last, like, 10 years, last decade, the 15 years. The Cowboys have, like, 2. Damn! So when it's crunch time, where them boys at? Y'all got to stop overrating them. They are not America's team. Anyway, can someone tell me what's going on with conference realignment? You have got to be kidding me. These folks wilding.
Fact.
I guess it's all about that football money. It's all about that football money. It's all about TV contracts. It is taking over college football.
What?
On God. Actually, it's taking over college sports in general, which is crazy, man. I just want to see how long this lasts. Because geographically, it makes zero sense. It makes zero sense. A Midwest-based conference is going to add 4 teams from the West Coast. And football doesn't make that much of a difference. Hey, we get to see Oregon, Ohio State again. Definitely a good game the last time. We definitely get to see USC and Ohio State, which is going to be amazing. But that's football, softball, basketball. I guess basketball is okay. Softball, you add 2 perennial top 10 teams, UCLA and Washington. That's going to be sick. Other than that, doesn't really make that much sense to me. And then also, at least geographically, I don't know how long this is going to last. Anyway, the Big 12, though, the Big 12 added Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. Damn! The Pac-12 just has 4 members left. Washington State, Oregon State, Stanford, and Cal. I think Stanford and Cal, 2 big-time academic schools. I think they'll be all right. I think Stanford should go independent. Cal, Washington State, and Oregon State, they might as well just join a Mountain West Conference or try to, I guess, pick teams from smaller Western conferences and put them on their team. Oh, if they can, like, form a conference with Gonzaga, at least for basketball, that would be great. But I don't know how that's going to work. TV conference wise, TV contract wise, they're screwed. Those 4 schools, they're screwed. They're not going to make as much money as they were going to make if they had, like, kept the Pac-12 together. You know what I heard on CBS Sports Radio? That Stanford and Cal could go to the ACC, which really doesn't make sense. Financially, TV contract-wise, it does. Geographically, it is laughable. It is unreal. See what I mean? When this stuff was happening, when OU and Texas moved to the SEC, I said, you know what I'm worried about? Super conferences. And here we go. It's already happening. The Big 12 in this just rose up out of the ashes. This was supposed to be the Big 12 because in 2011, 2012, when we lost Missouri, when the Big 12 lost Missouri, Nebraska, Colorado, Texas A&M, it was looking bad. And we heard rumors about OU and Texas moving to the Pac-12. We thought the Pac-12 was going to be this 16-team league, but nothing happened. OU and Texas stayed where they was at. And now all of a sudden, just like that, the Big 12 just plucked from the Pac-12. They just plucked four teams from the Pac-12. I would argue that Colorado should have never left in the first place. They should have never left the Big 12 in the first place. But hey, you know, the writing's on the wall. Big 12 bodied the Pac-12 in conference realignment wars. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what the ACC does. Hopefully they don't get annihilated by the SEC. Or maybe they'll just scoop up the remaining ACC teams, which, like I said, geographically makes no sense. But in the conference realignment wars, all the like irrelevant stuff that has nothing to do with money, well, it's irrelevant in this situation. All things don't have to do about money, I mean, screw it. Like the smaller sports, the travel, that none of that matters when you're talking about getting money for the university. So don't be surprised if you see Cal and Stanford in the ACC. I'm just saying. But this is crazy. We about to have three super conferences, Big 12, SEC, and Big 10. Everybody else, I mean, screwed. You're just going to be a notch below. Okay, ACC, I guess they're the fourth power. Well, now it's a power four because the Pac-12 got annihilated. So we'll see what happens. This is insane. I cannot wait until Oklahoma and Texas joins the SEC. I want to see how that goes. This might be good for, I guess, the Colorado, Arizona State, Utah alumni that are on the East Coast. This could be good for them because they're going to come to West Virginia and they got somewhere to go now. So the West Virginia trip is nice now. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourself, except when the weather's bad. Now, when the weather's bad, that's not a place you want to be, especially during the winter, because it get cold down there. Oh, my God. And you on the mountains, too? Boy, oh, boy. Prepare. Prepare yourselves. It's going to be something. Man. All right, man. Let me see what's next here. Kelly Maxwell. Oh, my God. No, they didn't. Oklahoma softball, see, they get high-profile transfers every season, and usually they pay dividends. But this one is definitely one of the best pickups in the Patty Gasso dominance era. Basically, since I graduated from OU, they've been dominating in this era. It's one of the better pickups for sure. I mean, Oklahoma fake, you done messed up. One of your legends is coming to mess with the real. That's the Sooners. I mean, this is epic. Now there's nothing you can do with us. You won all these games, but ran into the same wall, which is Oklahoma and sometimes Texas. You've run into the same wall over and over. And one of the main people that have given you a chance is now on our side. So you about to get a whooping from the hands of one of your legends. What?
Game over.
Boy, you can't make this up. I love it. I wonder how Oklahoma State fans are going to treat her when we do match up for what will probably be the final time for a while because of conference realignment. My gut tells me they'll be appreciative of what she's done, even though she has come to the dark side, or actually the good side, because you're messing with the realest, the Oklahoma Sooners. Six-time national champs. Matter of fact, seven. Is it six? Six, maybe seven. Y'all in trouble. That's all that matters. Y'all are in trouble. You thought you couldn't beat us. Now, just wait until we get Kelly Maxwell going. And this is, I think she's a graduate transfer because I think she graduated from Oklahoma State. Dad, you couldn't get her in grad school out there? Y'all are in big trouble. Let me just read you what she did last year. USA Softball Collegiate Player of the Year finalist, D1 Softball Second Team All-American, Softball America Second Team All-American, NFCA Second Team All-American, All Big 12 First Team, NFCA First Team All-Region. And you still went 0-4 against Sooners. And she was the main ones that gave you a chance. Now, with Kelly Maxwell, even her best games against the Sooners, most of them ended up in losses. Now, she can be with us. And most of your games ain't going to be losses. Now, if we can four-peat, that'll be epic. We got to do it. We will definitely make history. Definitely on the path to do it. We're retaining most of our team. Probably adding some freshmen. And we got some key transfers like we always do. Big time trouble. Oklahoma State, we're going to say goodbye in the most epic of fashions. Oh, man. That's how you kiss your rival goodbye. Take one of their legends and use that legend to destroy them. Over. Let's get it. Hey, no. I ain't done, bro. I ain't done. You know what, bro? Let me look at her stats real quick. Because y'all are finished, bro. Y'all don't even know what y'all have done. Letting her get in the hands of the Sooners. Man, oh man. Hey, let me see this real quick. Let me get the. All right, here we go. Here's her last year's stats. Oh, she from Texas? Okay. Okay, you know. Anyway, where is it? Come on, you gotta come through. Got come through for me, Oklahoma fake. I know you got all her stats. Hey, she shut out Tennessee. Good Lord. Hey, Tennessee made it kind of far. They made it to the semifinals. Man, oh man. Yo. Let me see. She had 229 strikeouts. That's unreal. 229. Oh, boy. What's that ERA looking like? Okay, she had her highest ERA last year. But overall, 1.58 ERA. 746 strikeouts. Only gave up 35 home runs. I don't have anyone to compare it to, but that sounds good. So she was fit. So, okay. 58-20, 158, 1.58 ERA. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. You know what I'm saying? That is pretty good. Now, let me see how she stacked up in. How she stacked up in the NCAA overall. Hey, this is going to be weird when the episode come out. But I'm just having too much fun with this Kelly Maxwell thing. I'm so glad she's a Sooner. And I'm just, when I found out it was official, I just laughed. I laughed. Because this is, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, you had a 0.96 ERA as a team. That's crazy. Anyway. We had three of the top 10 in ERA. Oh, Lord. Ayo, let me get to y'all crazy. Where is that? Oh man, I'm about to look at strikeouts because this is crazy. So Kelly Maxwell wasn't in the top 10 in ERA. I mean, she almost had a 2 ERA. I mean, that's tough to do, but she was number 14 in strikeouts. She had more strikeouts than any Oklahoma pitcher. Oh wow, I can't believe it. And now she's on our team. Trouble. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. This is the end game. This is the final Infinity Stone. This is the final Infinity Stone to a four-peat. And now, hey, listen. Let's see if you can dominate the conference after we leave, Oklahoma State. It's yours. You're officially the best team in the conference once we leave. Because Colorado, Utah's okay. They ain't as good as you. Arizona State, okay. Arizona State and Arizona in softball, historically great. But your program has been better. But let's see how you handle being the big dog at that conference. My gut tells me you won't handle it well. You will choke because you are a poke. And you are Oklahoma fake. You are not real. Anyway, man, this is too much fun. Hey, Kelly Maxwell, welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the club. Hey, listen, the U.S. women national team, they choked, which it still blows my mind because the little bit I watched, they were clearly the best team on the field in every game they played this tournament. Vietnam, it's a joke. I'm surprised they didn't win 7-0. What a joke. Portugal, Netherlands. I think Netherlands was 1-1. Like in the second half against the Netherlands, they had so many great opportunities to score. I don't know how they didn't run them off the field. Yet that game ends up in a tie. And then Portugal, same thing. They had a half of football where they just was running up and down and Portugal couldn't stop them. But yet somehow, some way, is a 0-0 tie or is 1-1 tie, something like that. Somehow, some way, they were the ones that almost got knocked out of the group because a ball hit the post in the 94th minute. Are you kidding? That was their best chance, clearly. Because other than that, our defenders and goalkeeper played outstanding the whole World Cup. They were amazing. Barely anything was getting by them. Yet, offensively, with all that firepower, with all that speed, Sophia Smith, Trinity Rodman, Alex Morgan, Lynn Williams from New York City, New Jersey, Gotham FC. Roosevelt got all this firepower and speed, yet we can't get the ball in the goal. And, oh, Alex Morgan. Alex Morgan had a lot of great opportunities. Even was it the Sweden game where she had a real good opportunity? I thought she was going to shoot. She hesitated. They hawked her down. She hits the side of the netting. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. She missed a PK against one of these teams and then missed the putback. Alex Morgan looked like she lost a step. She's still really good. I mean, she scored 2 goals against the Washington Spirit. So I saw that. But I'm just baffled. They outshot their opponent every game. Come on, man. They outshot Sweden. What was it? 17-8? I mean, yo, how do you have 17 shots against Sweden and not one of them goes in the net? And at least half of them was on over half of them were shots on goal. That's crazy. I'm still just dumbfounded. Are you kidding me? I'm looking at it, I'm like, yo, that's crazy. The shot counts this tournament. 28-0, 18-5, 17-6, 22-9. Damn! How are they sitting at home right now? How are they watching the rest of the tournament with us? That's crazy. And then, well, we had a chance to salvage it in the PKs. Well, first of all, I was trying to watch the game. It was on at 5 in the morning. I woke up about 5:30, started watching it, watched a little bit of it, watched from midway through the first half to the 90th minute. And then when I found out they tied, I was like, I'm going to work. I'm going to do lift. I'm going to hit the road. I can't take this. It shouldn't even be this close. And I found out while I was on the road in Silver Spring that we lost. And I couldn't believe it. All this with a hot drunk girl in the back of my car. But that's another story for another day. Unbelievable. This coach, I'm surprised this coach haven't been fired yet. Because there's no way with all this talent that this team isn't still in it. Japan was going to be their only competition. Everybody else, no chance. Yet they are at home. How? Well, Sweden's goalkeeper is pretty good. She made some great plays, but she cannot be that great with all those shots and opportunities. Bro, what is life right now? What is life right now? I'm sick. That's crazy, bro. Well, Megan Rapinoe retired. Julie Ertz retired. Alex Morgan, I guess she'll come back. Hopefully, she redeems herself. She needs it. I know she is probably feeling bad about it. Hey, Carly Lloyd, talking about the player of the match was the post against Portugal. That was such Mamba mentality. I love her for it. I am even a even bigger fan of hers now. She was great on the commentary team or whatever you call it. You know, the pre and post match team. She was great. Y'all need to keep her. Y'all need to pay her more. She was great. She is Mamba mentality. And, yeah, hopefully she gets involved with the resurgence, with the redeem team. Because seriously, like, this is ridiculous. Should have at least made the finals. Now, if we would have lost to Japan, I would understand. But other than that, no, come on. So now, whoever wins Japan and Sweden is probably going to the finals. Watch out for France. They had an impressive win against Morocco. I really, from what I've seen, I really don't see anyone else being like that. Hey, maybe they can prove me wrong. The African countries, they're all out, unfortunately. Oh, African and Caribbean countries, they're all out. They all lost. So I'm like, damn. One of these teams went to PKs and they choked. Can't remember who it was, but they were playing against England. It was Nigeria. Big time choke. Speaking of choke, Team USA, like, 2 out of the 3 missed goals. Megan Rapinoe, who is definitely, you know, on the way out and was the face of Team USA. So she's the face of the, you know, recent past. And Sophia Smith, the face of the future, they both missed over the post. That's a terrible look. What is life? Sophia Smith might be the MVP of NWSL, and she choked. But that's okay. She's really young. She'll be back. Got to win the next World Cup and the Olympics. Like, why not? They got the talent. They got young people coming up through the ranks. Should be fine. Unreal, man. Anyway, on to some local stuff. The Nats. The roller coaster, man. The roller coaster. Roller coaster of a season, yet they're still in last. Somehow, some way. The mid-Mets, the mid-Marlins, the mid-Phillies are all ahead of the Nats. They're all mid. Yet the Nats cannot overtake them. I'm sick, but this is the reality we live in. Now, about the Nats, they got their lick back against the Reds. It's unfortunate that the series in D.C. was a four-game series with the Reds swept, and the series in Cincinnati was a three-game series. So they still win the season series, but we got a lick back, and that's important. Marco. Caught the Reds on that slide. When they came into D.C., they was riding high. But then when we had to play them in Cincinnati, they were on a bit of a losing streak. I think they lost three in a row. They got destroyed by the Cubs. They lost to the Cubs. They got swept by the Cubs. Then they came back home, thought it was sweet because, well, we're worse than the Cubs. Got swept. Had no answer for Lane Thomas. Had multi-hit games and all weekend. Killed him. Couldn't stop him. Joey Meneses got his. Keibert Ruiz too. Like, unreal. We got him. Finally got him. Got our lick back. I'm satisfied. Yeah, we lost season series, but we swept them at their place. Because I was hurt, man. They beat us on 4th of July. They beat us in both games I attended. I was there on July 3rd and July 4th. They won both games. Heated. And then they won on July 5th. But I was pissed, bro. I was pissed. We're not even going to mention July 2nd. Got our lick back. I love it. Then the Phillies. Okay. The weather was wilding on Monday. It was just storms up and down the East Coast. I think we got off easy in the DMV. It wasn't as bad as the week before. So we got off kind of easy there, but it was enough to postpone the Phillies and Nats. They played a doubleheader yesterday. The Phillies won game one, but they're too mid to sweep us. So the Nats won game two. And in game one, Kyle Schwarber went yard twice, killed us. He had a big shot to open the game up. Got it to 6-3. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, what can we do? He's going to get his, especially against our mid pitching. And then Trey Turner, like, he's not having that great of a season, but of course he does well against us. Didn't matter. We split. We played two more times. This was supposed to be the series. I was supposed to go to Philly and watch a game, but I cannot. I'm busy and I don't have the money. It's all good. Maybe next year. Or maybe I'll just catch some other Phillies game against some other team. But the Nats doing all right. I'm definitely going to go see them in New York against Yankees. I hope to see them at least one or two other times in D.C. against whoever. I do have a ticket to the Dodgers game, but I doubt I'm going to go because I got a ref. So, yeah, I just got to check the schedule and see what I'm going to do. Also, Dylan Cruz hit a home run in his debut with the Fredericksburg Nats. I'm definitely going to pull up and go see him. I hope they keep him in Fredericksburg long enough. I mean, it's about the end of the season, so they're probably going to keep him in Fredericksburg. So I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to go see him probably August 30th or September 2nd. maybe both days. But I got to go see him play. I got to go get my first look at Dylan Cruz. I looked at the crowd in Fredericksburg, and it wasn't packed. So I guess the hype isn't that big. It ain't like Steven Strasburg when he was temporarily with Fredericksburg. That crowd was crazy. But this crowd looked like it was just a normal crowd. Hopefully, hoping for the same thing when I go see Dylan Cruz within the next few weeks or so. I can't wait. It's going to be dope. You know, I'm going to remember this, especially when he finally cracks the majors. All right, let's see. So the Washington Spirit. The Washington Spirit. See, I should have transitioned into this from the women's nationals team, because a good number of our players are in, yeah, they're over there with Team USA. Like, some of them never saw the field. Like, Ashley J-Lo Sanchez, I never saw her on the field. Aubrey Kingsbury, never saw her on the field. I think Riley Tanner plays for Panama, right? It's one other person I'm missing that plays with us, but yeah. And also, Trinity Rodman is one of the main players. Oh, they took her out against Sweden. I was sick about that. She was up and down that game, but they took her out and put in Lynn Williams. I'm like, I guess. When I saw NY and DC play, I thought Lynn Williams looked like Trinity Rodman. I call Lynn Williams Trinity Rodman's big sister. She's taller. She got the same hairstyle. Looked just like her. But I guess when you look closely, then you see the difference. But anyway, we got some players on Team USA, some of our main players, and also some players that are on other teams as well. So we're holding on with Ashley Hatch and Sam Staub, and also Nicole Barnhart, who I just found out is 41 years old. Wow. I guess she's been doing this for a long time. Anyway, the 41-year-old, she's hanging in there. She's hanging in there for sure. But the Washington Spirit, what sucks is, you know, they have the Challenge Cup, which I guess is their in-season tournament, just like the WNBA, and I guess you'll see the NBA. And I guess the MLS does the challenge, not the Challenge Cup, but the League's Cup with the Mexican teams. But yeah, this is their in-season tournament. And it looks like each team plays 6 Challenge Cup games. Because I looked at the schedule and there were no more Challenge Cup games. I'm sick because the Washington Spirit just missed out on the Challenge Cup semifinals. They will not be winning the cup this season. It's unfortunate because they were what? They were 3-3, right? Right? And 2 of those wins came in the last 2 weeks without our girls. That's crazy though. They tried to make a comeback. It was just too little too late. Because in the Challenge Cup, there are 3 divisions. There is East, West, and Central. So they take the top teams in both leagues. Okay. Take the top teams in both leagues. In all 3 leagues. In all 3 divisions. My bad. And then they take the top 2nd place finisher. Which, it looks like it's going to be Louisville unless New York wins. Now, if New York wins, oh, wow. If New York wins, they're a top seed. And they knock NC out. And also, they knock NC out. And Louisville, I think Louisville's in. They're going to be the top 2nd seed. They're going to be the wild card. So the fact that KC has such a bad, you know, regular season record, but in a Challenge Cup they're 4-1-1, that is nuts. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's a shame that I didn't really take the Challenge Cup seriously. And then I saw how close we were to making it. Man, if only they had won one more game, they would have been cool. They would have been straight, man. But they lost, man. They were 3-3. It's not going to cut it. Now, before I hop off the Washington Spirit subject, you know, I got to definitely give a shout out to Mariana Speckmeyer. Mariana Speckmeyer. I got to give a shout out to her because she had an epic goal way outside of the box. Hit the corner. It's one of the best goals I've ever seen. It was in the 94th minute. And you know that is late. And I mean late in the midnight hour. She came through. When I saw that goal, I was like, ooh, man, I was hype. I replayed that goal at least 5 times. Man, and this is a girl we drafted in the Trinity Rodman class. And then we let her go. And then she played for some overseas team. She's from Miami, played at Clemson. I mean, unbelievable. Can we keep her? Can we please keep her? A goal like that, she needs to stick around. It was amazing. Now, that game, now we were lucky to even be in that position because Orlando had a shot that went off the post, got tipped by Nicole Barnhart, went off the post, went back towards the line, was rolling over the line, and was kicked out by Bailey. Last name Bailey. I forgot her first name. Thank God for her because this thing was literally a millisecond away from crossing that line. And we're talking about a possibly 1-1 game. Now, Challenge Cup wise, it would have been meaningless because we weren't going to make it. But I love wins and getting wins. I love getting the wins. When we could take them, when we can get them. I absolutely love it. Man, oh man. Shout out to Mariana Speckmeyer. I love her. Let's keep her. Now, on her profile on the Washington Spirit website, it says that her pronouns is she and her. Well, after that goal, she is definitely her.
Facts.
One of the best game winners I've ever seen. Well, I guess we'll see what happens with the Washington Spirit once we get our girls back. Let me see the NWSL standings. Let me get the latest on that. Because I'm sure time is coming up now. Wait a minute. The Challenge Cup. Let me get the regular standings. Regular standings. All right, here we go. So right now, Washington is in fifth. So I don't know how the playoff scenarios go. I don't know how they do the regular playoffs, but they're in fifth. At one point, they were in first, but, you know, they had a little bit of a losing streak. But, hey, despite all that, hey, they're only 2 points back at NC. So it's a tight race, man. It's a tight race at the top. And everyone's going to come back, and things are going to get more interesting down the stretch. Now, when it comes to the Washington Mystics, bro, wow, it's really happening. Is it time to make the excuse that us not having Deladon and Shakir Austin and Ariel Atkins is starting to catch up to us? You know things are bad when we're losing to the Mercury. The Mercury, we've dominated the Mercury all season. And then We played them in Phoenix and get cooked. Got ran off the floor. The guard combo wasn't enough. Listen, while Della Don and Shakira Austin be looking good on that sideline, by the way. While we don't have three of our top players, Natasha Cloud can't be loafing. Tiana Hawkins can't be loafing. Like, they are our big three. Natasha Cloud, Tiana Hawkins, Brittany Sykes. That is our big three until these folks get back. And Brittany Sykes came to play against the Mercury. The rest of these folks, I mean, Natasha Cloud, 3-for-11, 7 points. 0-for-4, 3 pointers. Maisha Hines-Allen had a decent game. I mean, 11 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds. That's not bad. We needed more, though. But this is the kicker. Tiana Hawkins, 2-for-6, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Can't happen. She's supposed to be our third option right now. That can't happen. Inexcusable. I'm disappointed in her. But it's okay. It's just one of them games. But let me look at the standings, man. I mean, at the end of the day, the Mercury is still our 8-20. They're nowhere near us in the standings. The Mystics are now 13-15. We're behind the Dream. We're 2 games behind the Atlanta Dream. The Atlanta Dream. They're still rebuilding. What? And by the way, we lost to Atlanta twice in Atlanta. So I'm like, oh, that's the difference right there. Because they came here, got spanked. But we go there and we lose twice. Unreal. I know the Liberty and the Sun are better than us, even with everybody. But the Dream, the Sky, the Fever. Like, come on. You lost to the Fever twice. Bruh, go ahead, bruh. First of all, everyone got to get healthy. Second of all, got to be more consistent on both ends of the floor and not get blown off the floor on the road. Blown off the floor in Phoenix. Blown off the floor in Dallas. Can't win in Atlanta. Can't win in Minnesota. I mean, at least we split with the Sparks. At least they did that. I'll take that. And one of the wins was a 2-point victory. But we split. I'll take it. Y'all gotta get it together, man. Because playoffs coming up. And Lee Mong, I don't know what she was doing against Mercury. I still like her. She's still amazing. But, yeah, she got to pick it up. Real talk. Just real quick about the Alabama Riverfront. I've spent too much time watching the videos and all the angles and all the jokes on Twitter. I spent too much time watching it. Oh, before I get to that, I would love to have Megan Gustafson back. Gustafson back. I would love to have her back for several reasons. But anyway, back to the grind. The Alabama Riverfront brawl was crazy. Is definitely a symbol of Black people coming together and unifying for, I guess, a positive cause. I mean, security guard got jumped by like 5 white guys. That's definitely enough to trigger Black folks to jump in. And they was throwing hands. And the old dude, who's a 42-year-old, he was hitting people with chairs. Hey, joint was funny. Hey, one of the guys, man, got hit twice, went boop boop, and then he ran and dove in the water. He was not about that action. You had a girl get dragged by her hair and thrown in the water. The sisters was fighting the white woman and tearing them up. I was like, Jesus Christ, man. Ultimately, in the short term, it's a unifying video, is a unifying situation for Black people in America, for what our ancestors have gone through and what we have gone through present times. I mean, everyone's experience is different, but definitely for our ancestors who went through all the racism and the struggles of Jim Crow and slavery. It you know, it's fighting back. You know what I'm saying? It's a sign that we fought back for them in the short term. Like, yeah, when you look at the past, you can see why Black people are so happy about what happened there and how it happened. Hey, the kid that was swimming, Aaron Rudolph, I got to get like him because he swam, body slammed somebody, and was throwing hands. If I can get in shape like him, it is over for every opponent in every sport I try to play. However, there's something I'm worried about here. Something I'm worried about. I'm worried about this further dividing us. And, you know, well, thankfully, no one seriously got hurt. Some people, you know, there were some nicks and bruises. There were some people who got arrested, but no one seriously got hurt. I'm worried that there's going to be a situation that's going to be just like this, and someone's going to get seriously hurt or die. Hopefully that doesn't happen and cooler heads prevail. And, you know, hopefully this isn't another step towards a race war. Because, you know, frustration is built with some people. And, you know, seeing that video might take them over the edge on either side. Hopefully not. I'm praying it doesn't, you know, I'm praying that, there is more peace in this world and in our country. You know what I'm saying? But for Black folks, it felt like we just finally fought back. But listen, man, we do not need more violence. People want to keep this in mind, and then we get the slightest little disagreement between races and it's going to be another brawl like this. But I'm telling you, it won't have the same result. It's going to be even worse. So hopefully it doesn't happen and that this is just a one-off. We could all laugh about it, make jokes, celebrate it, celebrate the people who need to be celebrated. But let's not try to do this in the future. Let's try to stay away from this because I don't want a race war. I don't want people to die or seriously get hurt off a little misunderstanding. The guys should have moved their boat for sure, but you know, whatever, you know, they didn't have to throw hands. They started it and then folks finished it. That's all that matters. But we got to watch it. You know what I'm saying? It's cool and all, but we got to watch. Got to watch it. Like, even me, you know, I can get mad sometimes playing sports. And I could take it there. You know, I got to work on that. We could all, like, do better at anger management. Just saying. Anyway, it's Mr. Van Pugh. So you already know that I'm out. Peace. Oh, well, psych, I lied. GoatLevelTees.com. GoatLevelTees.com for all things goat level. Boy, I love co-ed kickball. Oh, my God.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.